Good evening, you're listening to Off The Record here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, Heather McLeod, in association with Tower Records. We're here with you till 10 o'clock this evening. As always, you can get us on Facebook, it's Off The Record on 103.2 Dublin City FM. You can email heather at dublincityfm.ie, and then we podcast most of our interviews there at offtherecord.podomatic.com. But we have a very special show this evening. We don't have our usual kind of melee of interviews and tracks. We have a sort of dedicated theme this evening to a disc that is coming out, that shows my age there, a disc on the 13th of July called Strange Passion. It's various artists. It's going to be released on Cash Cash, and I am joined tonight by sort of the curator, I suppose, Darren, and also Brian and Jackie, who are in one of the bands featured on that album that will be coming out. So thanks very much, all three of you, for joining me this evening for this special show.
Thank you.
And we're here, I'm going to read just a wee bit from the press information here, because it gives people a better idea of what the release is about, I suppose. It says, the first ever compendium of Irish post-punk and new wave, featuring extensive liner notes, rare photos, with the full participation of the featured artists and bands, released on Cash Cash, a new post-punk record label set up by Finders Keepers, dedicated to seeking out shyly excitable electropop music from the not-too-distant past. And this particular release has tracks from 1980 to 1983, Darren, I believe, is the sort of spread of time, roughly, that these tracks are from.
I suppose a particular micro-focus on that era. It's kind of the almost not quite immediate, immediately after punk, but it's a couple of years after the punk kind of revolution, in inverted commas, of sort of 76 77. It was a time, I guess, when you know, a lot of bands were, you know, the DIY sort of philosophy was beginning to mature. You had Irish acts kind of taking on a lot of this ideology that was coming from the UK, coming from punk, and kind of going, yeah, we can do this ourselves, buying instruments. You know, instruments were cheaper, you know, the availability of synthesizers, you know, they were beginning to come through. So you had all these new types of sounds and technologies beginning to sort of, beginning to merge. And I guess, for me, like in the UK and maybe in the States, it happened a little bit earlier. It was happening around sort of 77, 78. And they would have had a much stronger and deeper kind of electronic music tradition as well. But in Ireland, it really began to kick off around 1980, and it's I guess it's no coincidence that U2 were emerging around that time as well, and obviously they went off into the stratosphere, but they came from a scene that was very, very healthy, very competitive, and in many ways, without that scene, they probably wouldn't be the band that they are today.
And talking of U2, would you say, I mean, people probably class them as a sort of, these days, you know, like a pop rock band, but would you consider them back then, with, you know, albums, maybe their early albums like Boy and stuff, an element of punk in a band like U2 from that scene?
Absolutely. They were a little less knowing back then. I think now U2 are a brand, and I think their creative output has sort of, I think personally, it's gone into decline in the last 10 to 15 years. I think the last really important album they would have produced would have been, I guess, it's not, what was the album after Europa?
Acton Baby
is Europa. That was their last, for me, creative peak. And since then, they're a brand. Yeah, you know, they're sort of satisfying, I guess, an audience need. And that's fair enough. But in the early 80s, they were incredibly accomplished. Yes, they definitely took a lot of the tropes and ideology of punk. Mm-hmm. And but they were an unusual band in that they had an extremely good rhythm section, a phenomenal manager in Paul McGuinness, who really, you know, branded them incredibly well, and a desire to succeed, and sort of add that to the fact that they had a messianic frontman in Bono, who is a creative polymath. Like, I don't think he's brilliant at any one thing, but he's quite good at everything he does.
Yeah,
you know, and I just think that the they were a band who were kind of the right place at the right time, and they benefited a lot as well from internationally. They would have benefited from the fact that Joy Division became so popular so quickly, but then whenever, obviously, when Ian Curtis passed away, there was a need for
kind of opening there. Almost,
there was an opening there. And I think YouTube sort of stepped into that breach.
So, as I said, this is I suppose we should say the tracks on this are all from Irish sort of post punk bands. So it is Irish bands. But how did you come? You have quite a wealthy CV. I was almost sent here. You were involved more recently with Switched On, which is a music series for the Absolute Fringe last year. Social Rising. You're involved at something in the moment. We might talk about in a minute with Daniel Figgis, I believe.
Yeah, Daniel and I are working on a project at the moment. Daniel was a member of Virgin Prunes, and then he went on to. And to form his own band, Princess Tiny Meat, and he's one of our more acclaimed composers. And again, I don't think he doesn't quite get the recognition for the work that he's done. But he's certainly an album of his from 1993-94 called Skipper is probably one of the greatest Irish albums ever recorded. And his Princess Tiny Meat stuff from the early 80s sort of anticipates the likes of Isn't Anything by My Bloody Valentine. So he's a very important figure in the Irish music scene, and he contributes to one track on this compilation, the Virgin Prunes track, where he drums,
right?
And he also would have produced The Threat, who are also on the compilation, but the tracks that he produced unfortunately have been lost to the mists of time,
and okay.
we're still trying to locate them. But I've been involved in kind of putting on music events and sort of underground related projects over the last 6 or 7 years. And I've got an abiding interest in post-punk.
Yeah, and so how did you get involved with the label, I suppose, to curate, as it were, this
Keepers,
album?
Myself and a friend were producing a night called Maximum Joy, which was kind of a showcase for emerging Irish acts and also really interesting international acts. And we'd invite DJs over, like, that we liked as well. So Andy Vautel, who runs the Finders Keepers label, he used to come over to play at our nights, and we just built up a kind of a friendship from that. And Andy would visit Dublin now maybe 3 or 4 times a year, just various different events that we put on. And you know, he has a kind of a night called B Music, which is a kind of an international club night dedicated to sort of more obscure kind of sounds, where you might have like sort of kind of Western idioms like surf guitar, beat music, psychedelic music, kind of crossing over with sort of ethnic kind of traditions. So his label Finders Keepers will put out collections of music from Turkey, from South America, from, you know, he reissued Jean-Claude Vanier's first album. Vanier would have worked with Gainsbourg. So lots of kind of I like to describe as the other 99% of music out there that nobody's ever heard, but is still absolutely amazing. So we set up a club night called B Music in Dublin, to sort of just to play these kind of tunes, and they're all good sort of dance friendly. It's all good dance friendly music that nobody's ever heard of, but you know, people kind of go, "That's great. Why haven't I heard this before?" I said, "Well, you know, there's tons of this stuff out there, and the more you dig, the more you realize that it's almost infinite." And Andy would ask me from time to time, you know, are there any projects that we would be interested in going with? And about 3 years ago, I sort of suggested that maybe we could look at the Irish sort of post-punk scene, that it hadn't really been documented. And I knew a lot about English post-punk, and knew a lot of American and sort of European traditions, and even Brazilian post-punk, but I knew nothing about Irish music beyond the Virgin Prunes and U2. And I started digging. Andy was like, "Yep, if you can find stuff, then maybe we can put together a collection." So I started digging, and I got in touch with a friend, Gary O'Neill, who recently put out the photography book "Where Were You?"
Right, okay.
Which is a book on Dublin subcultures over the last 50 years. It's a phenomenal project. But he invited me over to his house, and he basically played a couple of tracks by from his own collection, by Chan Chan Chan, Operating Theatre, The Threat. So I started from that base. Like I couldn't leave my ears to begin with, because it was like, this is incredibly fresh. It's incredibly, it's really, really good. And yes, it does owe a certain amount to other post-punk bands like Joy Division and Pill and The Birthday Party, but they had their own thing going on.
And isn't it amazing though how you can meet somebody like that person that opened your ears to that music, which led on to be this project? And I mean, that's the wonderful thing about music and art. I don't think you'll ever know everything. There's always something you can learn, isn't there?
Absolutely. And you know, for me, it opened up a door and I started having conversations, started contacting the bands directly. And you know, when you contact one person, then suddenly they open up 10 new doors to other acts. And it's almost, even within Ireland, like there's, I wouldn't say it's infinite, but there's a huge amount of material out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I could have filled up about 3 volumes worth of stuff.
Could have had what do you call it? My brain is gone there. When you have more than one disc in a box. A box set.
There you go.
Just showing my brilliance and what my parents' money went to good use in the education. But we're going to take a track from the album. We're going to take a track from Choice, who Brian Jackie from the band are in with us today. And after we've taken the track, we're going to bring them in a bit on the conversation. So this is Choice, and the track is Always in Danger.
Only
And that was a choice there, and the track was Always in Danger. You're listening to Off the Record on Dublin City FM, and I have in the studio with me this evening Darren, Brian and Jackie, who are on to talk to me about Strange Passions, which is the post-punk release, which is coming out on 13th of July, and it's I suppose a mixture of tracks from 1980 to 83, rare tracks from various Dublin and Irish bands as well, not to say it's not just Dublin, and so I suppose to educate people a bit on the scene they may not know about, or they may not have heard those tracks even if they knew about the scene. So we're going to talk to Brian and Jackie a bit now from the band Choice, whose track we just heard. So thanks guys for coming in today.
Nice to be here.
No problem
nice
at all. Here. So I was reading about the band. You were from Dundalk, mm-hmm. and Jackie, you don't sound like you're from Dundalk, so how did you end up in Dundalk?
I was born in London, and the family moved back. I moved back when I was 12 years old to Dundalk. My mother inherited a house, so we ended up living there in the, when was it, late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. And the band then, how did the band come together? Was it a sort of story of meeting people at school, or was it adverts put up? Or
It came from... myself and Kieran are in the group. We're in Dundalk's first punk group called NRG. Mm-hmm. Probably one of Ireland's first, not first, but you know, early punk groups. And that evolved into another group called The Scheme, who were quite successful. Mm-hmm. You know, like we played with U2 in the Dandelion Market, for example, in September, the year 79, the week before the Pope was here. And from that, you know, we kind of got tired of some of the things and wanted to do something different.
Yeah.
Kieran was getting more into the electronic. I was mm-hmm. a bit into the disco, you know. So, and then we actually advertised for a singer in the local paper, believe mm-hmm. it or not. And that's how we got Jackie.
And were you looking for a female singer, just out of interest? Because obviously that you'd be able to name a few female singers, yeah. you know, from any time, but it's more of a rarity, isn't it?
They advertised for, I still remember this, I think I had the ad somewhere in the box. They advertised for an unorthodox singer.
Okay.
And I think it was that word attracted my sort of, you know, burgeoning independent instincts. And I sort of, I applied and we met and took it from there. Yeah. But Kieran at the time, I think, was very getting into Kraftwerk
yeah.
and early Human League. And I think, you know, he thought Dundalk, industrial town, you know, why can't we do that here too?
Yeah.
So.
It was a good industrial town. Like yeah. I had like PJ Carroll's, Harp Lager, Clark's Factory Shoes, a real manufacturing type
yeah.
town, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It was the Sheffield of
yeah.
Ireland
yeah.
at the
yeah.
time.
And was it, I mean, obviously it's a border town as mm-hmm. well, so it's been renowned for that over the years.
Yeah.
Was a bit tougher? I know obviously things were tough in Dublin, and yeah. as you say, you know, bands came out of that and the things, the hardships that were going on and the emigration, what have you, but would Dundalk have had it a bit more tough in terms of things that were going on, you know, that north-south divide, because yeah. you're right there on the line, you
definitely,
know?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of aspects to it. One thing was, yeah, I think we were hit hard by the recession, you know. I always remember travelling to other big towns and cities and realising, not half the shops are closed because cross-border trade. But mm-hmm. also, I think the positive thing was we had the influence of things like the BBC and that, which weren't as readily available in Dublin. So I always thought the music yeah. was more cutting edge. You come up to Dublin for the weekend maybe and realise that the clubs and discos were very mainstream, you know. There was always a little bit of cutting edge in the town, good music scene.
That's only a recent yeah. discovery that yeah. I made as well, that they yeah. didn't have the BBC down there when we had it.
Yeah, some people had it.
Some people
had it.
Depending
on
the
areas,
that's
where
you
were. So, yeah, and... yeah, and so there was the influence of the north or of the UK coming into the town.
Yeah.
And listening to shows like John Peel.
Exactly,
yeah,
yes,
sure,
yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and getting a pretty clear reception compared to what you might barely hear yeah. in Dublin, you know.
And like you say, not realising, I suppose, that they didn't have the influence of sort of British thing, you can actually see that afterwards in all different shapes and forms when you meet people that have had different mm-hmm. influences and
yeah.
been exposed to different things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, I suppose it's a kind of, it would have opened your eyes. That even mm-hmm. nowadays, the music scene up in Belfast, I would say, from what I get sent in, is different to things I'd be sent from Dublin and then again in Cork, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But from what I've been told more recently, Dundalk was often grouped in with the northern punk scene, wasn't it? It was sort of, it had connections to the north, mm-hmm. more so than the south.
More than the south. Yeah. I actually was reading a review, and I won't quote myself on this, but I think it was by Jinx Lennon, who's, you know, up mm-hmm. from around that yeah. year, back in 2006, about a band called The Tramps, but he sort of reflects on the 80s, and he said it's time there were more head the balls making music in town. It's been too precious about itself for too long. In general, 1981-82 was the last time that Dundalk bands had a true swagger about them. Then a local act like Choice could be seen on RTE at tea time giving it loads. The aforementioned Some Kind of Wonderful were yeah. never off the radio, and even short-lived acts like Bazique were making interesting new order shapes, but yeah. it all went pear-shaped due to a number of factors, including some economic and political ones, which we'll not get into. He says it's easy to laugh at now, but I truly believe the shock appearance on Irish Saturday morning TV by local art punks Bouquet of Blue Roses in spring 1985, pulling out a huge crucifix in front of the cameras, gave the powers that be in the national media an Edgar G. Hoover type excuse to be extremely wary of bands from Dundalk, the cause of the one exception. So
yeah, well, Jinxie's yeah. certainly flying the flag nowadays as well. I think he's the
quite out there. I've seen him perform
yeah.
a few
yeah.
times. He kind of, just for anybody I suppose that hasn't seen him, sort of raps a bit, yeah. but he's often political messages. I heard him do an interesting one about a night out in Dundalk, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard that one.
He's got great songs, yeah. Very yeah. authentic, yeah.
He's fantastic. He's kind of like... He's really one off. He's John Cooper
like,
Clark.
It's almost like
Suicide,
he has
all wrapped in
Marky
one.
Smith.
It's yeah, almost yeah, like yeah. he has that 1980s influence that he's kept till now, yeah. or something
well,
as
yeah,
well.
It's there. It's like he's you can't really pin him down. Like the last, like I've done a couple of shows with Jinx in the past where I've put him on, and the last show we did, he had loads of like little electronic gizmos and gadgets that he got
analog as well. That's very,
you know, like so.
Things,
and like,
you know.
He just incorporates all these different yeah. crazy sounds.
That was his take on Dundalk. Anyway, would you yeah. or the area? Would you kind of go with that?
Yeah,
pretty much.
I think it was. Yeah, he articulated it well. That was great to get a mention from him that he remembered us. You know,
definitely.
You know, so.
Yeah,
we've seen him many a times anyway.
And how did that come about for yourselves back then, getting onto RTE? Did you send them in a CD or?
Well, there's no CDs back then.
It was
a demo tape. A demo tape, so an audio cassette. And, you know, this is the reason we don't actually have many versions of the recordings we did. We made some demo tapes. Mm. And like back then, to even record a copy of it, the tape was expensive, and everybody had double tape to tapes even back then. So unfortunately, one of the tracks we really we got to RTE with a track called Multitudes, and we sent it to them. We sent them a picture. We explained briefly what we were about, and fair play to them. You know, they got back and we got on, and this was like with no manager. If we had someone like Darren with us back then, yeah. I tell you, you know, when it's enthusiasm, we would have done. I think we would have gone a lot further, but we had no manager, we had no phone in any of our parents' houses or anything like that. You know, so somebody had to contact us, they had to go and actually write and get in touch, and you can see why maybe people were half interested, they mightn't do that, but RT put us on, and we were invited back again. They had a sort of, they played all the groups that had appeared on this show called Young Line each week at the end of the series, and we were voted the best ones, and it was great getting the TV appearance.
It's like an early X Factor.
Really, yeah, it was in some ways,
a bit more prestigious, maybe. Well, not prestigious, but it had...
It's kind of funny because RT at the time were actually, they were a really interesting platform for kind of exposing innovative new music in Ireland. And like 2FM, it was then... RTE Radio 2 had only just emerged, and you had the likes of the Fanning Sessions, where they were bringing in these young bands and actually getting them to record sessions. One of which is actually on the compilation, the Operating Theatre track, which you're gonna be playing later on.
Yeah.
But you know, like you had innovative bands like the Virgin Prunes and Telltale Heart, who became SM Corporation, appearing on the Late Late Show. You don't get that now.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, it tends to be
a bit more mainstream.
It's much more mainstream. It's
and
much
even
more commercial.
It's even mainstream within. I don't want to go on a rant tonight because that could easily happen. But it's even mainstream within mainstream. If you know what I mean. Now.
Oh yeah, no, this
is very, very kind of, you know, bottlenecked sort of thing. But I tell you what, we're gonna come back and talk to Brian Jackie a bit more about the band and what they're doing now. But I was going to take a track from Joy Division and then maybe have a chat about, as you were mentioning earlier on, the sort of UK influences around that time. So I chose Joy Division. I saw Peter Hook there performing this track recently. So we're going to go with Shadow Play. We'll be back after this.
Tower Records, rock, pop, hip-hop, country, blues, folk, jazz, classical, metal, electronic and vinyl. The only record store in Ireland 100% committed to stocking all kinds of music all the time. No music, no life. Visit towerrecords.ie.
I'm Stace Gill and these are The Sessions.
You're named after a furry robot. That is ridiculous. It's brilliant. I'd love to be named after a furry robot, like for real.
This is Sparta!
Excitement.
Where in God's name do you get your tunes from?
Live on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Something completely different.
Tune into The Sessions for live music from around the world every Wednesday with me, Stace Gill, from 8.30 to 9.30pm.
Tune in to Release on Mondays at 3 for reviews, comments and some new music.
Release, the weekly album review programme. Tune in every Monday at 3 to hear reviews of the latest albums from Irish and international acts.
Release, Mondays at 3.
It's The Difference, 103.2. This is Dublin City FM.
And you're back here listening to Off The Record on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, Heather McLeod, and I'm back with Darren, Brian and Jackie. So we played Joy Division there in Shadow Play, and it's not on the disc for anybody who will be purchasing it and thinks, where's that Joy Division track she played? I'm so disappointed. I also didn't realise they were Irish. But we played that, I suppose, because we were talking a bit there about the scene back around the kind of late 70s, early 80s and the influence of British bands also in similar climates like Joy Division, like PIL that you're talking about and what have you. So would, as you said, you feel more so maybe then, Jackie, you're saying in the north or towards the border, people who would see the BBC and see these bands would get a bit more of an influence from them perhaps than their counterparts in the south?
Well, this is sort of something that I've learned in retrospect. At the time, I would have had probably no awareness that that was happening, but since then, I mean, I think there's a new book out about the Northern Ireland punk scene, and I think there's some photographs in that book of some Dundalk bands, and you know, through talking to people, I've found that there was this connection, and through talking to people involved in the music scene in the north, they would have been aware of what was happening in Dundalk, whereas probably bands in Dublin didn't know we existed. So, but this again, this is all in retrospect. At the time, I, you know, you think that everybody's listening to what you're listening to, or you're not aware of these things. It's like what Darren said earlier when we met, you know, the words post-punk, that wasn't around, so you're living through it, so you don't know how to analyze it because, you know, you're sort of, you're there.
Yeah. And what would punk have been to you then? As you say, post-punk, you're able to kind of analyse, this is what these people did, but when you were in it, what would it have been to you?
For me, I remember when I left London, coming over to Ireland, I remember seeing the first person with blue hair. So at 12, I'd seen it begin in London, if you see what I mean. And that was sort of in the back of my mind. I didn't think much about it. But then when I was going to school, and I suppose that kind of somebody, you know, like me, who's interested in music and the arts, is going to be that way inclined. And I was sort of buying the NME and seeing these kind of bands that I was interested in, watching Top of the Pops. And then in the streets of Dundalk, I do remember seeing girls dressed in sort of bright coloured jumpers, and you could see the influence come to Dundalk as well. So that's how it sort of, that's what it meant to me, you know. I was finding myself, a sort of independent self through this thing called which we call punk or post-punk now.
And nowadays, kind of, I suppose, moving on from your times in the band, I know you've been writing more recently in plays and short stories. Would you, would these be influenced at all by by your kind of musical art side in the 80s?
Completely influenced by it, yeah. I mean, a lot of the stories do have musical references to them. But I even think sometimes just to get in the mood of, if I'm writing something particularly dark, I will put on, I mean, I recently had Joy Division on for something that I was writing. I would just put the music on and sort of, not that I haven't got very interested in contemporary stuff, I totally have. But I think that period definitely has found its way into my writing as well.
What you're doing now. And Brian, you have a blog you were telling me about.
That's right, yeah. And it has part to play in this story. It's the blog started off just over a year ago. It's called Brand New Retro. .ie and it started off just really to digitise and preserve fanzines and that I was involved with in the late 70s and artefacts from my time with the various groups I mentioned, including Choice, and it was by actually posting that stuff up on the web, you know, that Darren found out about us.
Yeah.
And heard the music, you know, and so I was, when he got in touch, you know, I was, wow, this is brilliant, you know, because if you come out with this album now and I saw it there, I'd be thinking, God, well, you know, like, why aren't we there in this, you know, and, you know, and we, so it's like, it's so delighted to be part of this beautiful package album.
And the other thing with you just saying that is there probably are bands looking at that when it comes out.
Possibly, but I'll tell you something. I started this project, started working on it about 3 years ago, and it was only really whenever I came across Choice that I was like, right, I've actually found it. This is it. This I've actually reached the end. Because I was kind of thinking, oh, have I got enough representation? Have I got enough diversity? And then, like, I had a lot of material, but whenever I heard Choice, I was like, this really just finished it off. And maybe it was just a personal thing as well, because a lot of the aesthetic of the band is, they really appeals to me, and I grew up local to Dundalk. I'm from the border.
All right, okay.
Myself, and it just meant for me. It was like it was just so great finding a band that were quite local to where I grew up, because whenever I grew up, like I grew up in Castleblaney, County Monaghan, and like we just had Big Tom and the Mainliners and Susan McCann, Philomena Begley.
I've been there since though, and I had an experience a year or two ago at the Flat Lake Festival.
Yeah, which we've all
and
been to.
Yes, and that has definitely brought the arts of all sorts to Monaghan. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I actually do have a lot of respect for country music, and I think Big Tom is an underrated. I think so. I think the material is muck, but as a singer, I think he's wonderful. He's got an incredible voice, and I mean it quite genuinely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I just think he's not well served by his material. But he means an awful lot to people in that area, and that locality, and that aspect of Irishness. You know, that can't be, that can't be disrespected. You know, it has its place.
Sure. But I mean, I agree. It's good to hear that. But I was watching Punk Britannica there a couple of weeks ago, and I was hearing the London kids complaining about how boring it was and everything. You know, and I'm thinking, geez, you know, in a capital city like London, and the complaint. And I'm okay. The music scene was terrible then, but like the Big Tom and that was big in that area, and it spoke nothing to us at all.
Me neither.
And,
it meant nothing to my life.
Absolutely, but
I hope he's not listening.
Yeah. Odd.
A lot of show bands.
And
what we used to have this thing, they would play Hey Joe, and I think we were really rebelling against all of that.
Yeah, there was show bands, and there was like rock groups or yeah, but they had a sort of a tried set of material tracks, that they would just repeat every week, and it got so boring. But the crowd would love it. Hey Joe, the Neil Young stuff. So I mean, and those songs are good, but I grew up hating them because.
Same here.
Yeah. Week after week, they play these sort of classic rock tracks, Stairway to Heaven, all that kind of stuff.
But yet, you dig behind those show bands, and you actually find that a lot of those bands released one-off singles back in the 60s, the likes of the Dixons and the band from Northern Ireland, the Sound Like Beach Boys, Free.
Oh, the Freshmen.
Wonderful band.
Yeah. No, through the blog, I'm finding a lot more about these groups, and I actually grown to respect a lot of what they're doing, and it's great history.
Now, I'm aware of the clock, unfortunately, and we've got a couple of tracks we want to play and have a chat about, but going back to talk about Dublin bands and rebellion, this next track is from a band called The Virgin Prunes. Now, I did put that we were doing this interview today on Facebook and asked people from the list if they had any requests, and Virgin Prunes Prunes was one that seemed to get a few comments, and I think particularly Caroline wanted to hear this. So we're going to play Virgin Prunes. The track's called 2010s, in brackets, I've Been Smoking All Night, and we'll come back maybe and have a chat about a few of the bands from Dublin. And that was Virgin Prunes there, and the track was, I have it here, 2010s, I've Been Smoking All Night. That shows you we don't even have packs of 10 cigarettes anymore, you know.
No.
But we're chatting off here. I was saying, I've heard a few Virgin Prunes tracks there in the past, and that actually wouldn't in my head be, it's very post-punk, but in my head it wouldn't be certainly Virgin Prunes sound, yeah, but it's a good track. It almost had a London feel to
yeah,
it.
Well, it's kind of that was their debut single. I think it was recorded around 79-80, and it's very much, it captures the Virgin Prunes at their most kind of cathartic, I guess, because they were a very theatrical band. They were a band who married a lot of kind of sort of performance art, kind of a dadaist sort of Fluxus sensibility with music, discordant music, and a sort of a theatricality. So I think their later work, their later music became a lot more sort of gothic and maybe more sort of yes, pretentious, for want of a better way of putting it. I wouldn't be a huge fan of their album, which I think it has a couple of good tracks on it, but it's overproduced, and this just captures the energy beautifully. And I think there's around that time they appeared in the Late Late Show, and I think it's an extraordinary performance. Can't quite remember the name of the track, but it's just Gavin Friday and Googie serving. I think Googie is serving a couple of tables. There are girls sitting at the tables. You know, it's almost like a restaurant situation. Yeah. So it brings that theatricality, but they start screaming. Yeah. On stage, and you see Gabe Byrne there, he's kind of twitching.
Imagine for the era, that was quite shocking for people.
Very, very shocking. And like even watching it now, like the hairs stand up in the back of my neck. It still has an immediacy.
But what's interesting, I suppose, from that element of punk, which was the performance. I mean, there's a lot of, I think that's a shame, something that's lost a bit now. A lot of bands come on, play my song, and there was that theatricality. About those performances, and you see it more in people who do slightly avant-garde things, like you say there, Darren, that are on the fringe of the music scene doing other things who would watch that kind of music and be inspired by that. But you don't get as many bands now that are really...
No, they focus in on a particular aspect, whereas there was a sense of interdisciplinary kind of activity. You know, you had people that were you know, focused in around the Project Arts Centre, which at the time was a really strong hub of creativity. And you had, you know, a lot of, to make ends meet, because it was again, money was hard to come by, you had a lot of musicians working on theatre productions. And they were working within the auspices of the Project Arts Centre, where you had all these different creative types mixing together. Yeah. And it was informing their artwork, you know. So that was hugely, hugely important. And I think that helps to sort of set the Dublin, and very much the Dublin scene, apart from sort of other scenes in the UK and in the States.
And in terms, like you said there then, for the Virgin Prunes, that was a rare track, like you said, one of what their first tracks. For most of the bands, would these be tracks per se that weren't on albums, or in fact, as you said, for Choice, were never released?
Well, a lot of tracks weren't released. Like the Choice track wasn't released. Tripper Humane was a cassette, only 30 copies that was sold exclusively at his local school. He was only a 16-year-old, and it's beautiful piece of naive kind of DIY electronica. And the Roger Doyle Operating Theatre track at the end was a fanning session that's been languishing in an archive for the last 30 years. Pete Hamilton, the PH track, that was actually never aired. That was in his personal collection up until last year. So yeah, quite a few of the tracks in this were never released. And then other tracks, like The Threat, it was a one-off single, and they broke up before they actually got around to making a second single. And Rough Trade were actually interested in putting out their second single, but the lead singer went off and became a Hare Krishna.
All right.
So
fair enough.
Yeah, you know, it was I guess it was a heady time. Just that was very much something that would have been of its time as well. So I think the only band that really got a chance to kind of express themselves and explore their practice fully would have been the Virgin Prunes. But even the Virgin Prunes, like that lineup, was kind of almost the lineup that recorded that first single was almost the second lineup, and then they would have turned over quite a lot of people within the band, to the point where by 85, 86, I don't think any of the original members, but there might be one or two of the original members still left in the band.
And was that a common practice in the 80s, where people kind of chopping and changing bands they were in, would you say?
I think so. I think the Threat were an example of that. Like,
yeah, I think when you look back, the turnover on the like, when you realise, oh, we did all that in a year, like, I mean, you know, evolved from one group to another. Things happen quickly, all right, you know.
A year felt like a long time. Yeah. I mean, time's a funny thing, you know, just... And also, you could have had 1 year of work, as we had a few years, and those years were very rich, so they stay in the mind more so than if you'd been in something for, you know, well, I don't know, 10 years and it had no effect on you. This did sort of, I do, you know, Choice was, I remember it very fondly. So,
yeah.
We didn't chop and change too much though, did we?
No. But you guys did move over to London.
That's true. You know? Yeah. When, I don't know how we ended. I'm sure it was amicably. I hope it was.
You're not fighting too much this evening, so I'm sure it was amicable. But
it was all get quite organic.
Yeah.
It all felt very organic.
And I was reading bands like The Threat and Chant. They're described here as being kind of gone almost as soon as they arrived. Was that something thematic, as it were?
Well, no, it wasn't even thematic. It was just the reality of the time. Like, The Threat, as I say, broke up because one of the lead singer decided to become a Hare Krishna. And, you know, Chant again, the economic realities of the time was they needed work, and a member of the band moved to the UK to play in a jazz band. So you know, it was just, and they were young, they were still developing a sense of themselves, and you know, there was a lot less stability.
Was being in a band then for at some point something to do in between, at the time, the economy and maybe not having jobs and
massively
stuff?
So it gives them an outlet.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a track from Chant 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 because I want to come back and have a chat with a few things before we leave this evening. But we're going to take, I think this is the third track on the CD. This is Chant 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 and the track here is called Play Safe.
Stand on a cold hard wooden floor. Don't look behind you, they'll break down the door. Open the window, pull back the clouds. Let the light shoot from the dust that I shroud. Imagine places that you've never been, in books read by others that you've never seen. Facts and fears, a constant recall, wanting to certain that it leads for us all. Filling out jigsaws, becoming the path. Games are for children, go back to the start.
Chant, chant, chant there and play safe. Unfortunately, I had to fade that out a bit early because we've just got a couple of minutes before the end of the programme. We really want to get in that track from Operating Theatre. So, Darren, yes, so this is out on the 13th.
It's actually the 16th.
Oh, the 16th,
yeah, we're doing a small launch party in the Project Arts Centre on the 13th.
Right.
So it'll be available in the shops on the 16th.
And you just wanted me to point out as well, there's good liner notes.
Yeah, there's kind of like about 5,000 words, just pocket histories of each of the bands and maybe sort of a context contextual essay as well.
Definitely anybody who's maybe kind of got a bit of an interest hearing some of the tracks tonight, or, you know, sort of wants to know how some of the bands today maybe got their influences, then it's definitely worth picking up.
But even just from a kind of a cultural history perspective, and it's available on vinyl and CD as well as digital.
Great stuff. And Jackie, we're just pointing out there, Brian, as I've been calling him, you always referred to in the band as Dougie.
That's
so
right.
If anybody who was a fan of the band thinks, who is this Brian character who's just come in all of a sudden? Yep. He's also Dougie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Brian, what was your blog again, just to give that out?
Thank you, brandnewretro.ie.
Brandnewretro.ie.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the beautiful sleeve notes here. Like it has similar type rare photographs of groups from that era and other things from that era. So
stunning sleeve notes.
Mm-hmm.
Grand. Really lovely.
And yourself, Jackie, as you said, you've been writing plays and books, short stories, what have you. You're releasing, I think, some of those stories next year, is that right?
I've been working on something for about 5 years. It's a collection of 18 short stories, mostly set on the border, called Night and Autumn. And it's going to be published by Seren Books next year.
Grand. Well, perhaps we'll hear you back here in one of our book programmes or something along
those lines. Yeah, I hope so.
That's great. Well, Darren, Brian, /Dougie and Jackie, thanks for joining us on Off the Record. We look forward to this album, I'm sure everybody does, when it's released there in July. And we'll be definitely playing a couple of the tracks from there. I've been Heather McLeod. This is Off the Record in association with Tower Records. We're going to play out with the final track on the album. It's Operating Theatre, and the track is called 80s Ramp Walk. So we hope you enjoy this and join us again next Friday at 9 p.m. for another edition of Off the Record.